I know it's a long time ago now, but at the beginning of the meeting, I had to write down what Grace wrote. It says, go with God and you'll be fine. Now, she didn't know what I was doing today anyway. And when I wrote, Bill likes to have a title for the message, so when I'd written what I put down, I wrote a title, God's Route for You. And I thought, it's all right, I can see that, I can read it. But somebody that hears it, there's two routes, isn't there? There's R-O-U-T and there's R-O-U-T-E. This, the one I was thinking about is R-O-U-T-E. But the more I thought about it, we want God's route for us. We want God's direction, but we want God's route for us as well. We want His roots into us, yeah. You know, or our roots into Him. So anyway, I decided I'd change the title, make it a bit more simple. And I put, move into God's flow for you.
Yeah.
Move into God's flow for you. Often we get by in life by what we've learned, what we've known, what we've inherited. We tend to inherit a lot from our parentage.
True.
We what we call traits. Some people have specific.
Just like your mother.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. What they call traits.
Yeah.
And some we like, some we don't. Some of these traits are good and nice things, and they connect us with our parentage. Others, you think, oh, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't have that talent. And I was thinking, like, you know, when we do breaking the bread. I was brought up in a very loving home. I couldn't wish for more loving parents. But I didn't have contact physically with them so often. It's strange. What you call the touchy-feeling sort of... And it has always been difficult for me. I've always had difficulty when it comes to the hugs. Now, our Jonathan, he'll come and he used to get hold of Paulie and his mum, and he'd hoist her off the floor. He'd pick her up. Our Jonathan's always been into that, and which is good. But it's a trait I've had that I'd rather get rid of, but. Yeah, I'm always self-conscious when it comes to hugging. It's always been a problem. And we all have different traits. I say some that are good traits. Our parentage passes on some good things. But time after time, God asks us to get hold of His traits. And this is the road I want to go down this afternoon. We find it sometimes difficult to get rid of traits we don't want, and difficult to get hold of traits we would rather have. But God's given us a lot of instruction and direction to help us to get hold of the good traits. His word's full of examples and instances and guidance. See, we want to travel on the right route through life. We want to get on the right way.
Yeah.
Because we know that will be the best.
Amen.
And we make some right decisions sometimes based on all sorts of odd fact and fiction. And it can often send us off on a tangent. Sometimes because our motives are wrong. Sometimes because we're not really sourcing our decisions from the right sort of places. We'll use our own intellect. We'll use other people's intellect. We'll use the opportunity sometimes. And we go by that sort of thing. But another thing is, when we're looking for the route through life, the way through life, there's a number of things we're trying to do. We're trying to get the easiest route. Oh, it's nice to get the easiest route, isn't it?
Yeah,
We also like to get the friendliest route.
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing worse than having confrontation after confrontation as you're going on a route. So we want the friendliest route. We want the most direct route.
Yeah.
Coming out of Sheffield, you want the most direct route, don't you, Grace?
Yeah,
but, and you don't always get the most direct route. I remember when I first knew Pauline, I'd met her at the conference down at Minehead. So when we come home, I found out she lived at this place called Lemonfield, and I lived at Goldthorpe, which was probably just about 3 miles or so away. Now, I remember going up, finding my way to Hemingfield. It's not a place I ever went to.
No.
I remember once when I left school, I worked for a week or two on a building site, which was actually at Jump, which is just beyond Hemingfield. For those that's listening to the tape, we have some strange names for places.
We do.
And this signpost called Jump 1 Mile. But I didn't know how to get there, so I went all around the houses to get to this place that was just 3 miles away, because I didn't know the way. It was later on where I began to think, that's there, I'm here. Oh yeah, I can go an easier way. But it's the sort of route finder's guide. You know, you want that sort of... The sat-nav's good sometimes, because the sat-nav tells you the easiest route, it can tell you the fastest route, it can tell you the route avoiding motorways, it can tell you all sorts of things to get where you're going. What it can't always tell you is where there's traffic problems. It tries to, but it don't always succeed. And sometimes it'll take you on the wrong road if you're not keyed in the right instructions. I was once coming back from Wales with Andrew when we got on the motorway coming up past towards Manchester Airport. And it told us to take the route off up to the M62. Well, I thought, that ain't right. So I had the argument with the sat-nav and with Andrew, because Andrew was sure the sat-nav was right. And I says, no, I says, keep going on. Anyway, decided to come straight on, and we came past the airport. You see, what had happened is that the sat-nav, it had got the fastest route down. Now, the fastest route to the sat-nav was the motorway. But the shortest and most direct route was past the airport and up over Woodhead. We also like to have the calmest route.
We do.
You know, nice and peace and calm sort of way, and no hassle.
Yeah.
That's the sort of... We're looking at routes in life.
Yeah.
You know, calmness is a nice place to go. We'll sometimes try and look for the intellectually the best. Now that gets the grey matter going then. You're working out all these different where you can go, how you've got to get through this problem, that problem. So we start using our intellect to calculate what's the best. Sometimes we'll go and ask other people. Now that can be deadly. That can be deadly.
Yeah.
Especially if you go and ask two or three different people and you get two or three different ideas of the answer, and you're in a worse quandary then than before. But really, what we're after at the end of it is the right route through life.
Yeah.
Through the problems, through whatever's going on, we want the right route to take us through. And it's not necessarily going to be any of those that I've mentioned. But one thing that has dawned on me over a long period of time is there's only one person that knows the right route.
Amen.
And that's God. Amen. He's the only one that knows the right route for me.
Amen.
Because no matter who I ask, whether it's myself or somebody else, or go looking at the different options, I can never take in all the information. I never get all the interweaving circumstances that are tied up with it all. But I know somebody that does. And in his word, he gives us some real good advice, that sort of foundation advice, really, to help us to identify and to travel on the right route.
Amen.
I've just listed a few here for starters. In John 14, 6, it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Yeah.
He's telling us that he's the way, the truth, and the life. You don't need to go and look at all the wise owls in the world.
No.
You know that there's so many people go looking at mediums, they go looking at stars, horoscope things, and all sorts of things. They go looking in teacups and any, you know, look at the moon and the stars. And but God says, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now if you go back into Proverbs, there's some real wise sort of things in there. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 19, it says, listen, my sons, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way.
Amen.
That's a key, that, is listen.
Yeah.
Listen. We make so much noise sometimes that we do forget to listen. And when we do listen, we tend to listen to the wrong sources.
Yeah.
God wants us to listen to him. But it's not just a switch on and switch off listening. I'm beginning to... What got me thinking so much about it is that because we're involved in Teen Challenge, and I know we mention this quite a lot, but because we're involved in Teen Challenge, we've got people that have lost the way over a period of years. And sometimes it's because of their family history, the family traits that they've picked up. I had one lad that was brought up in a drug addict, dealing, living, using environment. So it's not surprising he ended up as a drug addict and a dealer. But there's so many others that have such tragic circumstances that have taken them so far away from God. They've shut themselves off. And I began to see that if they could get the focus turned around and start looking towards God, the decisions and the things they started to do, the route they started to take, would be sourced from a different place.
Yeah.
They start looking to God for the guidance and the leadership and the direction and where it takes them. You know, and what they based their decisions on before will no longer exist. And they'll start moving a different way.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where it would take them, but I know God knows where it would take them. It says in John chapter 16, verse 13, it says, he, that's the Spirit, will guide you into all the truth.
Amen.
So the Holy Spirit is in people's lives to guide and encourage and lead. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 29, Jesus said, learn from me. He wants us to learn from him. He's given us by example, he's given us by teaching. There's so much information in the Word of God to help us to grasp hold of where we're going, where we should be going, and how we should be going. There's a one we often refer to in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It's be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now let's follow it through, that you may prove what the will of God is.
Amen.
So you start renewing your mind. You start changing your focus of where you're looking at for your life's decision, your life's direction.
Yeah.
And God starts to open up the way to you. Because your what you see and what you feel starts to be different.
Yeah.
It's not the self-motivated carry on of following a route that you want to go. It becomes a route that you want to walk in God's way, God's route. It doesn't mean to say you suddenly switched off from your own personality. God has no wish for us to lose our own personality. But he wants us to live in Him, to draw all the best from Him. All the best that He's got. It says in John chapter 10 verse 27, "My sheep hear My voice and I know them."
Amen.
My sheep hear My voice and I know them. He knows you. He knows me. He knows me differently to you because I'm different to you. And He's not wanting me to become like you or you to become like me. He knows me in all my ways. He knows my history. He knows what talents I have. He knows what weaknesses I have. He knows everything about me. And He's not trying to change me into somebody else. He's trying to take hold of me in my life and help me to travel my journey. The best route.
Yes.
The best route to Him.
Yeah.
And the best route for me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it might not always seem that I'm going on the best route for me. Mm. Even to myself. But if I'm submitting to God and trying to get hold of what He wants and where He wants me to go and how He wants me to react to the situations and different things, then He's not going to let go of me. He says He'll never leave me, He'll never forsake me. And He's going to get hold of me and He's going to help me to walk. There's powerful information in the Word of God to help us to grasp hold of who He is and where He wants to take us. In Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, it's quite powerful. It says the Word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. It's powerful words. But it's only powerful if we can take them in. One of the problems is that if we have information coming at us that we don't want to hear, we shut ourselves off from it.
Yeah.
I know, because I've done it. And we close down.
Yeah.
And often, people have closed down to God.
Yeah.
Because they don't want to know the route He wants to take them. They think that they know the route. Or perhaps the pleasures that they've got, or seemingly got, are more powerful to them than following what God wants.
Yeah.
We know that the power of drugs is a tremendous power over people. It has such a hold on them. It makes them slaves.
Drugs.
But there's other things in life as well that makes people slaves.
Yeah.
Captures them. And they enter into slavery for that which controls them.
Yeah.
It says that you are slave to that whichever masters you.
Yeah.
And God wants us to be free.
Yeah.
Not in slavery.
Amen.
He hasn't brought us to Himself for us to be slaves. He's brought us to Himself to be sons.
Praise God.
Sons and daughters to Him. He's given us some quite stern warnings about being on the wrong routes. And you'll probably find some yourselves. I've just picked a few out. Matthew chapter 7 verse 13, it says, "The way is broad that leads to destruction." So it's probably comes under the easy.
Yeah.
Easy road.
Yeah.
It's easy to go on the broad road. It's not necessarily going to be the calmest, but you'll think it's the easiest. And it's a broad road that leads to destruction. It says it's a narrow one that leads to life.
Yeah.
Back to Proverbs again in chapter 14 verse 12. It says, "There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Sometimes you'll come across people, "I know where I'm going, I know what I'm doing. I'm going to do this, 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 and this, and you see them further down the road and they've got no further, because it's their own intellect, their own ability. They don't know about the obstacles that's going to come. They don't know about the fights they're going to have. They don't know about the valleys they're going to have to go through.
No.
Oh, God knows.
Amen.
What fights you're going to have, what valleys you're going through, and what mountaintops you're going to get to. And like I said, He knows what talents you've got.
Yes.
And God's not given us talents for them not to be used. He's not given us talents to lie dormant. He's given us talents to help us to live and to walk in the way that he's guiding us. Still in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes."
Yeah.
It says somewhere, it says, the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." But it's interesting that often you see that when a person gets to the end of himself, when a person gets to the end of himself, there's only God there.
Yeah.
There's no one else. There's nothing else. So sometimes at that point is when a person finds God. And the wonderful thing is that God is there for them.
Amen.
God is there for them. When they get to that point. But they've got to realise that there's someone bigger than themselves.
Amen.
Got their interests at heart.
Yeah.
That has their route mapped out for them. And all they have to do is walk in it.
Yeah.
The way of a fool is right in his own eyes.
Yeah.
And we have a loving Father,
yeah.
A loving God, and He wants that no one perishes.
Amen.
And He will reach out to us in all sorts of situations.
But
we get away, we go and like the prodigal son, and when he comes back, the Father's there, waiting. Proverbs chapter 15 verse 19 says, "The way of the sluggard is as a hedge of thorns."
Yeah.
We live in a society now of leisure to a great extent.
Yeah.
I think the leisure industry accounts for a lot in this nation. But there's a lot, that don't even do anything active leisure-wise. You get people that don't work, they don't have any leisure, they don't do anything really. And it's a downhill spiral.
Yeah.
I know that we try and go to the gym, and we haven't been for some time, and I feel the loss of not going to the gym, not getting out walking as I like, and not going to the gym. And I'm finding that even at rest, I'm tired. Now, when I'm active going to the gym and doing working and different things, I find that I've got more energy generally as well as. It's a strange contradiction, because when you're spending more energy, using more energy, you have more energy.
Yeah.
That's how it works, because you're toning your body up. Your heart muscles and your other muscles get working. Hallelujah. It's life in the church. When there's a baby's voice, there is life in the church. Praise God. And I mentioned Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Yes, there is a God.
There is
a God. Hallelujah. And He loves you and me, and He wants us to go with Him.
Yes.
He wants us to go with Him. Start mapping your path out in God.
Amen.
Get yourself moving forward in Him. The decisions that you start, that you make, just think, where am I sourcing that decision from? Where is it coming from? I'm finding that, like you, it's to the point where now it's not individual decisions themselves. It's the nature that's changing. It's you that changes.
Yeah.
And you sort of start getting hold of what does God want in this? And sometimes you're perhaps not consciously doing it, but you've studied the Word, you've talked to God, you're grasping hold of something of the traits of God. And that's what's starting to come through in the decisions and that you're making and the direction you're looking at. Because some things you'll say no to because you know that's not what God wants. Other things you'll say yes to because, I know God wants me there or wants me to do that. Even though I feel a bit inadequate, yeah, I'll go that way because I feel that's where God wants me to be. What God's want. So you're starting to pick up the traits of God, of God's idea of things and what He thinks and feels about things. So I need to change my focus.
Amen.
I need to change my focus. I'm unreliable. In my direction of myself.
Yeah.
I know because in the past I've made some silly, stupid mistakes. And when I rely on myself, I might make silly mistakes again.
Yeah.
Others are unreliable because I've had some weird advice at times. Some wrong advice. And it's led me down to some cul-de-sacs at times. But I'll tell you this, God's got it covered.
Yes.
God's got it covered. Because even though I get it wrong, if I can get my heart right with God, He'll put it right. He'll get it right. So I need to take on his nature, his traits, his character, his nature, his motive. And underlying it all, I need to take on His love. Both in coming into me and outgoing from me. Because if I can get hold of that, it does work two ways. And it flows. And it's a tremendous feeling just to feel that God is there.
Yeah.
In every situation. Situation I can't handle. Andrew went into that operation. There came a point where it was out of his control. But not out of God's control.
Amen.
God was there all the time.
He wasn't in the surgeon's
hands. In God's hands. So I need to source my decisions from the Word of God.
Amen.
I need to learn to flow God's way. What did you say at the start? Go with God and you'll be fine. That's what Grace said at the start of the meeting. Go with God and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Learn to flow God's way. And if God's prompting you to say no to a thing, don't be afraid to say no.
That's it.
Even if it means curtailing your appetites in that area.
Yeah.
Just if God's saying no, he's got a reason.
Yeah.
If He's saying no, it's for a reason.
It is.
You might not appreciate it at the time, but He has. Make God your lifestyle choice.
Yeah.
It's one thing coming to church and being religious.
Yeah.
And then being the nastiest thing on the planet outside church.
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
No.
You've got to make God your lifestyle choice.
Amen.
And the right choices then start to flow from that. Because you're living in Him and with Him. You're not perfect. Don't get out because suddenly you're pious and perfect and all that.
Yeah.
No, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. You, You'll still make some howlers because we've still got the human nature going as well. But this is this underlying thing. I want to make God my choice. I want to go his way. And when you're confronted with things, make the right choices. God will help you to make the right choices. He'll take you into the right direction. So you'll avoid some of the pitfalls that you would have done. You would have fallen into the other way. I'll read this. Accept that God's way may not be your natural choice or your favoured choice.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
But be sure it'll be the right choice. You're getting it. And be prepared to stick with it.
Yes.
Even if it's hard.
Yes.
Yes.
Even if it's hard.
Yeah. Will you say
right.
It again?
Go on. Accept that God's way may not be your natural choice or your favoured choice. Be prepared to stick with it, even if it's hard. Now, just a few encouraging scriptures then. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, we know that God causes all things to work together for good, to those who love God, to those who are called according to His, that's God's, purpose. I'll read it again. We know that God causes all things to work together for good. What we've been saying. All things working together for good. Even if we can't see it in the particular instance that we're at, in any situation. It says, to those who love God, learn to submit and love Him.
Amen.
It says, all those who are called according to God's purpose. Mm-hmm. Psalm 37 verse 3 says, trust in the Lord. Trust Him. He knows what He's doing.
Amen.
I could give you advice on something. I could be totally wrong.
Yeah.
Because round the corner might be something that changes your direction altogether. And I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
Trust in the Lord.
Yeah.
Still in that same psalm, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Be confident that he's going to do something good in your life. He's going to do something good. Verse 5 says, commit your way to the Lord. You know, if you're embarking on something and you perhaps haven't got a clear actual decision and you're struggling and you know you've got to go forward somehow, commit your way to the Lord. Start walking. If God said, if you're going the wrong way, God is going to tell you.
Yes.
And He's going to bring you back onto the right way. When I changed jobs at 40 and thought I'd fallen down a black hole, I'd got the decision from God. I got a very clear decision from God. That wasn't the problem. The problem was, when I landed where I landed, I thought I was in the wrong place, anywhere but where I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And in terms of time scale, it took me 3 years to see daylight.
Yeah.
3 years plodding through the darkness, trying to see daylight. And that was a very difficult time for me. I could have run away and hide. I could have done anything. But I didn't. I stuck there. I don't know how, but I did. I stuck with it. And I saw the hand of God. I saw things change because I was on that path. If I had gone down the path that I thought were alternatives, I certainly wouldn't have been here now. Verse 7 in that same psalm says, rest in the Lord. Do not fret. Rest in the Lord. Just rest. When you go traveling in a car and somebody else is driving,
you rest,
don't you? Because somebody else is in control. Somebody else is doing the... You might be navigating sometimes, but they're doing the driving, so it's their responsibility.
Yeah.
I have to smile sometimes when if we're travelling somewhere and you have a passenger in the side that is a driver, very often you'll look left and they'll say, you can go now. Mm-hmm. Well, that makes no difference to me. I will look because it's my responsibility. Yeah. But you've got God's attitude,
yeah. You
won't get offended at that.
No.
You'll just take it and leave it, you know. But you will do what you know you have to do. You're the responsible driver, so you look where you need to look. It's nice to have confirmation,
yeah.
But you look. Right, verse 23 in that same Psalm 37, it says, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way," our way. He delights in that we're taking his path. We're going in his path. God's organizing our steps. He's setting it all out. There are fruits for seeking to live our life in God, just as there are fruits from excluding Him. There's a very hard proverb chapter 1 verse 30. It says, "They wouldn't accept my counsel, they spurn my reproof, so they shall eat of the fruit of their own way." Wow, what a... Yeah. It says, "and be satiated with their own devices." It's I don't want that.
No.
I don't want that.
Oh, no.
But Psalm 23, you see, we read that a lot. In Psalm 23, verse 3, it says, "He guides me in the paths of righteousness."
Mm-hmm.
He's there. Mm-hmm. He's there guiding me. All I have to do is to put myself in his hands, if you like. To my whole lifestyle, I need to hand over to him so he can start leading me in the right way. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 is a well-known one. "We know that God causes all things to work together for good. To those who love God, who are called according to..." I've done that, haven't I? I wrote that.
Yeah.
But it's "all things work together for good." That was the thing I was highlighting. All things work together for good. If you think that things are a bit rough at the moment for you, if you've handed yourself over to God, even in our own imperfect way, if you've handed yourself over to God, God sees that. God's not going to stamp on you. He's not going to send you somewhere you don't want to be in the sense of being a wrong place. But he might take you through the valley.
Yeah.
He might take you somewhere, ways that aren't so easy. But they're going to bring you out into the best place. The question is, do you want all things to work together for good for you? Then start looking to God for your decisions, for your attitudes, for your priorities. Get yourself wrapped up in God. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about from your heart, get God involved in what you're doing and where you're going. And let him get hold of you.
Yeah. The best.
And he will get hold of you. Because he loves us.
He loves.
He loves you. It's not religious talk.
No.
It's getting over. If I could talk to some of these that are struggling with addictions and things like that and just show them that they can come out of it. Yeah. One of the things with Teen Challenge Rehab is that they go right down to the things that are causing the things that's making them be as they are and dealing with them. But they know that only God can deal with them.
Yeah.
And what Teen Challenge does is really pointing them to God and let God take over.
Yeah.
And he transforms them.
He does.
Transforms them. So he's waiting for you just to come to him.
Amen.
I'll just finish with Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. What other God or deity would call himself gentle and humble? You see these gods that people worship,
yeah,
and they're supposed to be powerful.
Yeah.
We worship a God that is gentle and humble. Wow. You know, it blows the mind. But it says you will find rest for your souls. Now this is not at the end when we're buried. This is now. This is where you'll find your rest in him. In the situations we go through. I was quite interested to see what it said in the Message, that particular couple of verses. And I was quite impressed. It talks quite differently. The language is quite different. But just let me read it to you. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life.
Yeah.
I'll show you how to take a real rest.
Yeah.
Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it.
Wow.
Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Now listen to that. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace.
Yeah.
Walking in the grace of God.
Yeah.
Walking in his grace.
Yeah.
It says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Ooh.
Freely and lightly. That sounds good, doesn't it? That's a real good option, that.
Yeah.
It's all about just getting involved with him and turning your life over to him in the way that you would. How can I put this? If you were a child and you were going somewhere that was really frightening, just imagine yourself as a little child and you're reaching up to the Father's hand and the Father takes you and you're secure because you've got hold of the Father's hand. You'll not be as frightened going into that situation because he's there. Your dad's there. That's God the Father. That's God the Father who takes us through every situation. Now, I know that I'm far from perfect and I don't respond perfectly to God's instruction and guidance and everything else. But that doesn't seem to faze him.
Yeah.
It might faze me at times, but it doesn't face him. And when I get it wrong, if underlying in me my heart is right, wanting him, then somehow he brings it right.
He does.
And we get through on the right, the right path, the right way. If I get things in me that override him, and I get onto the wrong path, then there are consequences to me of doing that. And I have to repent. And I have to go back to him. But it doesn't mean to say he's abandoned me. But I have to get myself right again. And I come to him and say, Lord, I want to be on your right, the right path that you've got for me. Help me to get back on track. And he will do it. He's not going to abandon me. He's not going to forsake me. He loves me. He loves me. What he's trying to do is to get beyond the religiosity that we are so often wrapped up in and see the reality of God in our lives and his ability to take us through, to keep us, to guide us, to lead us and take us the right way. So this afternoon, going back to the title, move into God's flow for you. Make sure you're moving into God's flow for you. Get hold of him and let him take you. Let him take you. Even if it seems a little bit hard at times, let him take you. Because it's the right route, it's the only route to take. Any other route and you don't know where you will end up. So as Grace said, go with God. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Hallelujah. Praise God.
It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down.
Yeah.
The Lord upholds him with his hand.
Hallelujah.
That makes just for every one of us, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Provision for us all.
Praise God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.